Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Can we start with our creds? And I don't mean our resume. Yes, we are technically both licensed marriage family therapist, and we see a lot of couples and we talk about relationships a lot. But what I mean by cred is how many relationships have we been in personally?
Oh, five.
So I think I've been in more than you. So starting with you, college.
I mean, like, what I would consider like a real legit relationship, not like just dating.
Yeah, I think it's important because I think with relationship, kind of like parenting,
it's hard to know unless you've been in it.
Yeah. And I always tell you this. I know it sounds like a broken record, but I think there's a difference between theory and practice. And
yeah.
We can, as clinicians, quote unquote, we can study all the books on relationships, and we can get on our high horse and podium and what you should do and shouldn't do and how to fight and all this. But we are human. And I think the greatest revelations and learning is through human experience. And so I guess I'll go first. So I first relationship, 3 years in my 20s. Then a 5-year relationship that turned into another 5-year marriage. And then another 3-year relationship. It was a long distance relationship that turned into a reunion and relationship in Los Angeles. And then another 3-year relationship. I have a pattern of doing a lot of 3-year relationships. And then in between,
I was going to ask you, how long were you single in between those?
There was one stretch after my divorce that I was single for like 4 years. And oh wow, look at that!
What the fuck?
That's like getting something in a look at this. Show the you can't show the audience.
People on podcast can't see it, but people on live can.
You can describe.
I'm drinking out of a paper cup. John brought me home a lovely little afternoon treat. Very sweet of him.
Acts of service is Vanessa's love language.
And as I was drinking and I was looking in the reflection of myself, I noticed something, and I looked on the bottom, and one of our daughter's like little play bracelets is completely in the circle.
Oh, you know how that happened?
The cup. It was in the cup holder.
Yes. So when I put that in the cup holder.
But it like fit perfectly.
That fit perfectly in
there.
In the cup. I don't know what that means, but
I don't know. It's really sweet though.
Let's put it on. You put it on. Here.
For a little seashell necklace.
Yes.
Or bracelet. Okay, so how long were you single? You said
there was a stretch of like I think 4 years after my divorce, I was single, and
is that the only stretch though? Were all the other ones overlapped?
No, they didn't overlap. There, periods of a few months here, a few months there. And the times that I'll be honest, the times that I was single, I didn't want to be single. I just, no one wanted me. I was out trying to not be single until I was single on purpose for a little bit. But, I've always been in a relationship overall, except the 4 years of kind of finding myself, if you will. So what about you?
I'm eating croissant for those listening. I love John's podcast because it doesn't matter. I can be eating a croissant and people still listen.
Hey, it's not that it
doesn't.
Although
you do get a lot of feedback about how annoying it is when you slurp your coffee into the microphone.
You define it as it doesn't matter, which is very cheap. I define it as real. I define it as documentation. I define it as authentic, not that it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Truth. Art. Of course it matters.
Okay, so for me.
College. Big one. Big one was college.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can't count the like. 2-year high school first love kind of thing, because that doesn't.
I don't know if high school counts.
I know. I always.
Many would argue that it does.
Yeah, some would argue. I guess I would actually consider though, like my college, that relationship was the first big one, right?
Yeah.
The most impactful. So that was about 5 years, both long distance and together.
Yep.
Over the course of that 5 years, because I was in school, and then single for. Maybe four-ish years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of dating, but single. And then I met my ex-fiance. We were together for 6 years.
Mm.
And then
tie with us. Tie with us.
As of right now, yeah.
Yes.
So
not that it's a competition, but also not that the amount of time you're with someone.
No, and that
is
that's a good point.
That's
because
quality,
then
right?
I was single after that. I moved to LA, and I was single for I don't know, maybe like 6 to 8 months or something, which doesn't seem like a big distance. And after a 6-year relationship, but I think, in my defense of that only six months, I talk about this a lot. Like, I feel like I was grieving the end of my relationship for a lot longer than like when it actually ended. Right. But then I dated somebody very briefly here in LA for like 4 or 5 months. And even though it was only 5 months, it was very intense, and kind of rocked me in a lot of ways, led to a lot of growth, all those things. And so I do consider that one of my main, you know, kind of pivotal relationships. And then I was single for, I guess, maybe 2 years after that relationship until I met you.
Yeah. I mean, so you also lots of relationships, you know? So Vanessa and I, we co-authored a book called It's Not Me, It's You. And it's a collection of so far, all of our big learnings and revelations, and we are running a retreat in Idlewild. We have a little retreat house in Idlewild, and
California.
It's just 40 minutes above Palm Springs. I run all my retreats there, my Miserable Fucks retreats, and then Vanessa and I, once in a while, will run a couples retreat. Very intimate, just a handful of couples in a living room, just talking about some real shit. And so some of the stuff that we talk about, we're going to talk about, give you kind of like a highlight in this episode, are things that really helped us, are things that we really had to look at and it really helped us. So obviously one big topic is codependency, right? So Vanessa has been talking about codependency forever.
Feels like my whole life.
Yeah. And it's because she is a recovering codependent, right? And so that I would say is one of the biggest for you, correct? Codependency and how that shows up in relationships.
How it impacts all of our relationships, right? Because it's not that I'm a recovering codependent, you are too. The point is we all are codependent.
Our therapist said we're supposed to use I statements.
Yeah, well, we're all codependent. So that's just the fact of the matter. So it impacts us differently, it shows up differently. Depending on the person, depending on the relationship, depending on the activation points. But codependency is something that I firmly believe everyone in at least our Western culture struggles with in relationships. And so it's really important to understand the root of it, how it shows up for you individually in your relationship, how it shows up as a, you know, as a unit in your relationship, to start really moving towards this concept of like interdependence, right? Which is two autonomous beings who come together to make something greater, but not two people who lose themselves in each other, don't know who they are without the other person, you know, aren't capable of standing on their own 2 feet emotionally, all of these things, you know, the people pleasing, the lack of boundaries, all this stuff that we see as kind of a fallout.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of it is tied to our story, you know, upbringing, childhood and all that, but also
in the culture.
The culture and definitions of love, of love being, you know, hanging on romance and the one and happily ever after and the pressure that we put on each other as, you know, to fulfill each other's needs, all of that stuff, right? So,
well, also that would be a good segue into loving without your past, which is another topic that we talk about in the book and in the retreats because, yeah, it's really important. I mean, listen, we're therapists, obviously. It's important for us to understand where this all came from, right?
Right.
Not just family, not just culture, but also past relationships and how the, like you like use this word residue, how that residue kind of shows up and can impact the relationship that we're in now, whether that's our actual romantic relationship, friend relationships, relationship with self, right? I think it's important to kind of unpack that.
Yeah. And if you're not aware of it, you are just going to default to loving with your past, meaning all the, behavior and thought patterns that you have, that, you know, you have, carried from other relationships kind of just ripple into the next until you're able to stop it, until you're aware and you're like, hey, this is, putting me into a cycle or there's something here that I need to, stop because it keeps repeating. Right. So loving without your past is something that we talk about. Vanessa and I have had many conversations about our own past and how mm-hmm. we're bringing that into this relationship. Looking inward and taking ownership, this is foundational. If you're not able to take ownership, or if you are with someone who is only defensive, now we could all get defensive. I'm right. defensive. Then Vanessa can be defensive. When we're activated, we can definitely hold up a shield. But if the person that you're loving or yourself only has one gear, and that's defense,
yep.
You really can't build anything. I mean, I feel like, I mean, wow.
Well, you can't build anything safe.
But then
safety. Yeah, is built through taking responsibility and accountability.
Sure. So if you can't build anything safe, then what are you building?
Then what are you building?
Yeah. So That's a big piece that we go deep on. Attachment styles and love languages, right? There's a lot of books. Attachment styles right now are very trending on the internet with relationships. So we do kind of a quick, I don't know, Cliff Notes kind of 101 on attachment styles.
I think it's a 101. I think it's important for you to know kind of where you fall on the spectrum, mm-hmm. understanding that it is a spectrum. It's not fixed. I think more so, you know, neither one of us are pretending in any way that we are like attachment-based therapists.
No.
It obviously impacts and kind of colors the way that we work as therapists. But it's important, I think, more than anything, because understanding where you fall on the kind of spectrum of attachment is helpful in understanding what happens when you're activated. Where do you go when you're activated?
Right.
So that's, in my opinion, the most helpful part about understanding attachment. And attachment theory is understanding, this is why and this is how I show up when I'm triggered, when I'm activated, when I'm under stress, when I'm under pressure, and this is why. And so that once you have that understanding, you can kind of start to understand yourself, but also your partner. Like when they are flooded, for example, like look at us. When I'm flooded, I tend to shut down, pull in, right? I go into this belief that like I have to do it all myself. I can't rely on anybody else. I do it alone, right? And you know that that's not personal.
Right.
You know that that's based on my story. You know that that has to do with my attachment wounding. And so because you know that, number one, again, you don't personalize it. But number two, we can start to actually, between the two of us, develop strategies to continue to increase safety in our relationship, for me to explore alternate ways of showing up, for me to explore leaning in when I want to back up, right? As in just kind of one simple example.
Yeah. For me, attachment styles not only explained, but gave me some kind of to-do and structure when I felt anxiety, because I lean mm-hmm. more toward anxious. It helps you get out of yourself mm-hmm. so you're not just reacting, right? Mm. And a lot of my anxiety with being attached anxiously, I excused and I defined, before I knew that it was an anxious attachment, I defined it as, this is what love should look like.
Mm.
My partner isn't meeting me there, so maybe this isn't love.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of jumping to conclusions about love when it had to do with childhood wounding and,
yep.
and the way that I form attachments, you know?
Well, I also think it's important too, like with avoidance, to understand, because the word anxious is in anxiously attached, I don't think we realize or remember or even know that avoidantly attached people are also highly anxious, and some might even say actually experience more anxiety
yeah.
than anxiously attached people. And so, again, understanding it as this is what happens when I'm activated. This is what happens when I'm anxious in my relationship. Mm-hmm. And this is how I respond to that anxiety. I think really helps depersonalize it and also take some of the shame and stigma out of it, you know?
Yeah. And those are just two attachment styles. There's many more. We're all swimming towards secure. Working through the anxiety as a couple can be really therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
So being transparent and doing this with each other instead of at each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not defending, you are trying to understand and share your inner journey with your partner, right? And
mm-hmm.
Many of us don't do that. So what we get from our partner are just reactions instead of an understanding of their inner journey, where they're at you know, who they are, who they're becoming. And when you can really be vulnerable in that way, then you guys are on the same team working toward building something instead of two people doing life like alone, you know,
like me against you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The big one we talk about is how to fight without fighting. And this is, again, this is foundational. It's not about how many times we fight. It's about how we fight. And, you know, when we talk about fighting, we're just talking about resolving conflict. Mm-hmm. There's going to be conflict and differences in every relationship. Yeah. I mean, friendships, family relationships, it's not just intimate relationships. And if you don't have the tools, capacity, awareness, intention.
Which a lot of us don't, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't.
You weren't raised that way.
But if you don't know how to resolve conflict in a healthy way, there's just a lot of ruptures and no repair, mm-hmm. right? You can actually have a healthy fight that can bring you guys closer together.
I think we've had many of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's fighting isn't a bad thing. Resolving conflict isn't a bad thing. What's important is two people learning how to repair. Mm. You know, there's actually a ratio. Everyone's aware of the Gottmans. The ratio is 1 to 5, that if you fight 5 times, you get 1 fight that can go south, right? So like if every 5 times that you guys have a conflict, if 4 of the 5 ends in repair, then that's good. Then it's okay to have that one. You get a one free. Yeah.
They're not always going to be resolved. I mean, I also think that's just reality.
Yeah.
Right.
But that requires learning. That requires, we're not just reacting. We are actually, and it's hard to do. It's mm-hmm. It requires a practice. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through that and teach people how to fight without fighting, as we say. So we can get the ratio down to mm-hmm. 1 to 1 to 5.
Hopefully.
For many people, it's a coin toss. For many people, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we're going to fight and this is 50-50. And so it's like, you know, at every 5 times we fight, 3, there is no repair, and 2, there might be, mm-hmm. right? And over time, that's just going to, it's going to destroy the relationship. So 1 to 5 is the goal, according to the Gottmans. Mm. And then laying new tracks. I talk a lot about, the corrective love experience. I talk a lot about the new love experience. With Vanessa and I, that's been, at least for me, a really powerful thing to want, because I know that we both have the capacity to give ourselves mm-hmm. and each other something new. And something new may not always feel good. mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
sometimes what feels good is the dysfunction.
Yes,
moment,
yes, right? Yes.
But you have to you and I are, I think, are consciously committed to kind of allowing our conscious higher selves as much as possible lead that charge instead of the kind of unconscious drive, which says that the dysfunction is what feels normal and good, right?
Yeah. And ultimately, I think that's what we're meant to do as kind of humans in relationships. We're supposed to build something that kind of heals each other. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in that exchange, we learn and grow through it. And I think that happens when we give ourselves new experiences mm-hmm. or we're just playing the same record, you know, getting, you know, the whole saying that a lot of people say that, you just keep dating the same person, just the faces change. That's an example of not giving yourself new experiences, right?
Usually from lack of self-awareness, lack of tools.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like to blame you from having the same experience over and over again, but sometimes it takes people on the outside to reflect back to you, well, here's what I see in that pattern, or here's what I, you know, or have you considered this, to really give us those kind of aha moments to be like, oh shit, I never thought about it that way, right? And then the next time that pattern comes up, because it will, that version of you that I was just referring to, you know, might in the tiniest little whisper be like, hey, excuse me, remember when you learned that thing? Like, maybe try it this way this time and see what happens. And then it just takes sometimes that one time for you to have like a holy shit, like you said, corrective experience.
Yes. And
or maybe sometimes it takes 100 times until you have a corrective experience. Who knows?
So we're going to do our best to you know, every relationship is intricate, unique, and, you know, there are so many different ways to approach relationships, right? These are some of the big things we're going to tackle. Mm. And I think that, you know, broad strokes, these are kind of like foundational. So if you were to buy, you know, a box of firecrackers, this is like the Piccolo Pete and the M80 and the sparkler, like all the things that
it's
you
most
really
like dude thing you could ever use as a
women,
metaphor.
Other genders, they don't do firecrackers.
I mean, even the gender, it's still, if it was a chick that said it, I would still say that was a very dude metaphor. Mm.
But we are giving you the nice family box of fireworks where you go home and
I don't know, I'm from New York. They're not legal. So
you
know,
your kids would be very happy with this because it has everything. So this is our approach to that. And also, we're not just going to sit around the living room and talk for hours, right? So we're going to incorporate, since we are in nature, a somatic experience. So whether that is an ice plunge or, you know, going into the sauna or whatever. Getting your sweat on, going for a walk. We have structure. And on top of that, this is probably the best part of all our retreats is we have a chef who is in the kitchen making everything from scratch.
Oh, you don't have to think about anything for a whole weekend. You're just taken care of and pampered with the most delicious meals. I'll tell you what, as a mom of a young kid that like you have to think about three meals a day, every day, forever and ever until you die. That is like one of the biggest perks of going on retreat, in my opinion.
Yeah. So that, and of course, great coffee, 360 views of nature. Mm. And, you know, you could hang out with us live in person, which is a very different experience than hearing our voices or watching us on social. So go to, go to my Instagram at The Angry Therapist and hit my bio and you will see our retreat link there. And
April 19th through 21st, by the way, because I don't think you saw the date.
Yes, April 19th through 21st. And we are looking forward to working with you and we will see you.
We can do payment plans as well.
Do payment plans.
So email one of us and we'll get you that info too because we know that it's hard to put that down in one chunk. So let us work with you.
Whatever you need, let us know. We're very flexible and we our intention is to help as many couples as we can. So reach out. Thank you for listening. Be well.